This is the sound of Worlds Beyond Number.
The words that Suvi uttered and remembered, thinking about Starling Ford and the movements of her fingers, perform the first somatic components of the first spell. Because her mother taught her those movements, knowing that this cloak would be with her. And though it was her mother's intention that this spell should come to protect Suvi in a time of need, Suvi has seen fit to gift it to another for the time being. Suvi and Ame share a moment as kindred spirits and friends whose story we have yet to tell. But it can be said that in this moment of their friendship, it was worthy of remark that they became a witch and wizard on the same night. Ame, you can go ahead and take Detect Magic. And Suvi, you can take Protection from Evil and Good.
Oh, okay.
Protection from Evil and Good offers protection from fiends and celestials and undead, and for our purposes, quite importantly, Fae. Ursulon, for the first time, you dream. You dream in sleep. You look at a broad river, shallow, stones in its midst, and see fallen knights in the mist. A scene of horror. But once again, the sun shines brightly in this dream. You can hear the birds in the forest. You can hear the flowing of the water against the rocks. And for the first time in your life, it occurs to you that it might be strange that the birds would sing and the sun would shine in a place with such grief and loss. There would have been a time when grief and loss was beyond your ability to comprehend, and perhaps you would have played in the sunlight or sang as the birds do too. You are standing by the banks of the river at the ford where all these knights have died. You feel a hand on your shoulder. He's standing there. Translucent, but not ghostly. No. He flickers like the hot sun over open sand made of golden light. His presence here is as warm as the hearth fire. Or perhaps that warmth is simply reflected here as your sleeping body curls up in front of it. But there's something here in dream, as Sir Curran, made of light, looks down at you. He holds your back and smiles, weeping.
I'm so sorry, little one. I was stupid to think it would be easy and come at no cost.
No. No. There is nothing stupid about what you have done. These lessons are hard won, and it is a gift that you grew in a world without them. I would not see you harm yourself or hurt your heart because the harshest lessons of the world had not yet been given to you. They come in their time to us all. Were it in my power, I would spare you and spare all from such lessons. But it was no failing of yours that it came to you in its own time.
But it is, Sir Curran. I'm not meant to learn the lessons of this world. It's not mine. These lessons aren't meant for me. And I'm not ready to learn them.
I think we never are. Those curses ring true. And they are less curses than they are lessons, or perhaps that's what every curse is. I don't know. You cannot know honor without the risk of shame. To act nobly and to have that be a choice means that there must in the world await the choosing of another path. And to know a quest is, of course, to know failure. What great deeds could there be to be done if there could not be a failing in the doing of them? I am sorry. But I do know one thing. It is right that you were not named that name that I will not repeat here, that the spirit in the forest attempted to give to you, and in so doing gave only to itself. Do you remember what it was that reflected back on that spirit, the curse, its third, that it attempted to lay on you?
Mm-hmm. Dora, your armor.
No. No. It was your turning to save your friend. He kneels, takes his sword. You are right. You are up. And there you awake. Amazing. Okay.
Is it, Brennan? Is it amazing? you're upbeat, which I guess I'm happy about.
I'm glad
I'm happy you're
fun.
Happy.
No, I'm kidding. That was incredible.
I want all our fans to know that I didn't make these fucking characters, okay? The players made these characters. They told me what they wanted to happen. I'm here on time. Goddamn delivery man showing up with what you ordered.
And
okay?
I take it home. Take it back.
Yeah. We have buyer's remorse.
Return to sender.
Suvi and Ame, as Ursulon sleeps in front of the hearth, you two young girls have this moment, and I think sometime after that, let me know what you do in the immediate aftermath of sort of Ursulon falling asleep and making the fire. And Ame, you are aware of this change that has come over you. You know, ultimately, I think it's just your proficiency bonus goes up. You know that you have this spell. I don't know if you can cast it again, but you know that you saw the forest for what it truly was. You know that you saw deeper truths in the world. And it didn't feel there was no flash to it. This wasn't a magical lens through which you can see the thing. It really just felt like, I have a pair of eyes that I can open to see the world, and then I have another pair of eyes that you can't see in this world that I can also open. And it's just that simple and natural.
Mm-hmm.
And Suvi, you look and see your mother's cloak and see the soft rise and fall of Ursulon falling into deeper sleep and are unaware of any spell at this moment. What do you both do in the immediate aftermath?
I think because Ame kind of took the charge in soothing and setting the like breathing cadence for Suvi, I just turn and look at you. And I think maybe in this moment, it's just a little more apparent. She ran down without her like giant glasses on. And I think she just looks like a kid that is a whole year younger than you.
I indicate that we should go upstairs. The room.
But what if he wakes up? Will he be alone anymore?
Well, then I take her more to the corner then. So okay. Far enough away so that our whispering won't wake him up.
You both can walk over to, in the way the cottage is laid out, is that the kitchen and the little table there and everything is around a little corner, but you can see most of the hearth from there. So you can both be kind of, honestly, a little bit farther away, tucked around the corner, but still poke your head out and see Ursulan.
I explained to her what happened in the woods as best I can. As to me, so still some parts of it are more about the light or the sound or the feeling or the smell. I don't remember all the words perfectly, but you understand. And I convey 250 years.
There aren't nights anymore.
Yeah. What are we going to tell Grandma Wren?
And I think just her name feels like a slap. Like, oh my God, an adult. Oh no, she's going to be mad.
Oh. You didn't do anything wrong.
No.
And you know that even if you did.
We lied. I lied. I said I knew. And if I, and the mushroom said that it's because he went inside. And I told him to come inside with me. And then he got washed. And that's because I said he was dirty. I did that. I made him different so he can't go.
Look. What happened, happened, and you didn't know. You didn't know.
That's not it.
It is an excuse.
It's not.
You can't know everything.
That's not an excuse to not be better.
What did you mean that if you weren't good, that they wouldn't come back? You think that you have some control over this. You don't. You can be as good as you want. You can learn all the things you want. But things are just gonna happen. It's how you feel about them. How you accept them.
No. No, you can change. That's what magic is.
The door opens, and out of the night, and you could swear that as she steps up the two short stone steps, that she was 12 feet tall. But at once, and all of a sudden, she is in the kitchen, and she is her real size, is Grandmother Wren. She immediately looks. Her cloak is somewhat tattered at the edges, and a wide brim hat that you have never seen before brushes across the top of the door frame as she enters. As quickly as she can, it is off and hanging on its normal hook to the side. The broom in her hand alights and sails through the air swiftly, silently, and as a moment gone. You see a deep and powerful magic fade from her. You could be wrong, but you don't think Grandma Wren walked here through the garden from the road. She looks at you both, looking a little older than she was this morning, eyes sunken a little deeper, a little less color to her face. You don't know where she's come from, but you know that she was gone for a long time, and that normally, under the best of circumstances, she would have let you know. Both of you can give me an insight check in this moment.
Ooh. 18.
Oh, my God. 17.
Both of you look at her face and see a deep sorrow and regret as she puts together in a moment what has happened here in her absence. On a 17 and an 18, you see that deep sorrow and regret. I leave it up to you, if you are old enough as children, to know when a grown-up feels that they have let somebody down. Maybe it's not something that looks familiar to you, so maybe you wouldn't recognize it. And you might not recognize as well the fact that she also, underneath that expression, knows that what she has just come from had to happen no matter what, and there would have been no way to avoid this.
I don't understand, and I could never articulate it, but I can feel this is different. She's not her normal self, and it's so terrifying because I've seen adults unsure of things or in fear. Plenty of people come to the cottage in need of help. But I've never had to see Grandma Wren like this. And so without speaking, I run up to her and I throw my arms around her midsection.
She looks, she immediately puts a hand on your shoulder, Ame, and goes,
Oh, my sweet girls, I'm so sorry.
Suvi just takes a little half step back. I don't think she understands, but she's putting it together. She sees the similarities between the looks on both of your faces and the moment you make physical connection. I think she understands that there is a similarity of intention and mood, and she would rather stand away and understand then move closer and be comforted.
Grandma Wren makes eye contact with you, Suvi, and in a moment simply, upon you stepping back, you see her move with the knowledge of what that means, but immediately on to knowing that there is no path forward to address that in this moment. She goes,
my sweet girls, I'm so sorry. I didn't. There was no time. There was no time. All right. Ame, go upstairs to the bathroom, get the bucket of water down off the wood stove. Suvi, I'd like you to go up to the study. In the corner, there are several small jars. Take the two, they will look like small sugar jars. Take the two small blue jars with ceramic lids on top. There's a small spoon next to them. Bring those both down here, all right?
There's no water.
Yes, what?
Sorry.
There's a the kettle. So I look at the kettle, which is still on there.
You see, yes. She says, "Very well, the kettle. Yes, okay. That's all right. That will have to do." Okay.
I'm sorry.
The kettle. I take the pot holder and grab it with the bowl.
See Grandma Wren say, well, "That'll be enough for now." She whips her head over her shoulder, opens just the top half of the farm door, and goes, "Nicholas, water!" And you hear, and hear a gate unlatch in the dark.
No!
He can unlatch the gate!
No. He can't unlatch the gate. I just unlatched the gate. And you see she walks off.
That's actually a relief.
But that means he can listen.
Grandma Wren goes down to Ursula's sleeping form and, you know, gets this water. You run up and get these two small things. You see that she takes some herbs out of it. You see that she leans down as she begins to pad sort of above Ursula's brow with a wet cloth, trying to sort of cool him down. As she does so, you see she gets a mortar and pestle, begins to take the things from the jars and grind them up. She gets a little bit of the water, makes it into like a paste, begins to apply that to Ursula's brow. You notice her sort of furrowing her brow and looking at this and going, he's lost his scent already. And she is going to she's going to roll a medicine check.
Can I assist at all?
Yes, as you you absolutely can assist here.
So I arrange the jars and I hand her things as she asks for them.
You do your best to assist here. See, she says, "All right." When he came inside, was it daytime or nighttime?
It was daytime.
Okay. So we have a little bit less time than I thought. It was daytime when he came in.
The first time. The second time was nighttime.
The second time was nighttime.
This is the second time.
I understand. He tried to go home, yes?
Yes.
I understand. She looks a little bit closer, says, and he was washed, yes? And
I gave him honey.
And you gave him honey. All right. I understand. So, it's a good thing you didn't use any of those extra soaps. The ones that you used are used with trees and herbs from around here. So he doesn't have to go without a scent. He's going to just smell like the forest. You see, she looks and says, "Oh my, we do have a chance." Oh, and you see a little tear collects in the corner of her eye that she quickly wipes away, kisses it, and a little dart of sparks of magic go towards Ursulon, go inside, and you see runes on the outside of your mother's cloak that you have never seen before. They were in the thread, disguised somewhere, a light and ripple with silver starlight.
I think that's the moment. I sprint forward and now I'm like clinging to the side of Grandmother Wren's like skirts and watching.
She looks and says, "You have very good memory. Those words your mother taught you are not easy for even the wisest to remember."
Break down at that. Praise. Oh, God. She's done, and now snot crying into the skirts.
As you cry, she looks and says, she looks and says, "It'll be all right. It'll be all right. Suvi, you can cry. It's all right to cry. It's all right to cry. And a strange request, but we're trying to save our young friend. Make sure all those tears land on the cloak and not on the floor, all right?"
Suvi just mid sort of snotty cry. Just
Grandmother Wren. Grandmother Wren immediately realizes that she's given you a wrong way to cry and a right way to cry, which for a kid like Suvi, yep.
That's bad intel. And I'm that's one point of data, and I will map too much onto that.
As Ame runs and gets to us, you see that Grandma Wren takes her cloak off. Tosses it with one toss across the room where it lands perfectly on a hook by the door, rolls up her sleeves. You see these long hands. She's got these long, witchy hands with rings on them, a little bit of age and liver spots, but begin to go to work. You see they are strong. As you see, she cracks a little nut in one hand, begins to take some of the things you gather from her alchemical base. Go ahead and give me an alchemist tools check on your own, and she will give you the help action here.
Oh. No!
Don't trust both of them.
Six.
You guys work as fast as you can in the night. It's late and dark, though. And Grandma Wren has enough proficiency with medicine to be able to do the bare basics. But this is still going to come down to a couple of saving throws from Ursula. There are a couple of effects here.
Okay.
But I want to let you roll them.
Okay.
One of them has to do with, and I'm going to let you know what these are about in the fairy tale logic of it all.
Oh, that's so kind of you.
Yes. Sue.
No, you're good.
Yeah. One of them has to do with beds, another has to do with doors, and a third to do with sunlight.
Okay.
And you may roll. These are all going to be constitution saving throws.
Of which I add nothing to, for I am a child.
You may roll these, and in this instance, because you have a powerful witch working to help you, and you have... I'm so sorry. You also roll these with advantage because of the protection from evil and good from Suvi.
Okay, great.
So you are going to roll these with advantage.
Oh, thank God.
And I will let you roll them, and you may assign them afterwards. So go ahead and make your rolls.
Okay. I got to pick the best boys. The best boys. Only the best boys. Okay, here's the first one coming at you. Okay, that's a 2 and a 14.
Okay.
Ooh. So we 14.
Mm-hmm.
Will you let me, after I know all three, will you let me?
Yes.
Okay, that's very kind of you. I feel like I'm rolling for my future. That's a nat 20.
Yeah!
Hell yeah!
Okay. Still got a good roll in it. I'm not picking my dice. And that's an 11.
Okay.
Okay. So I got a 14, a 20, and an 11.
Let me know to which of these, there are several fey effects unfolding here.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know, based on those, you know that the magic has to do with these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me know where you want to put these.
Okay. I'm going to put the nat 20 indoors.
Cool.
I'm going to put the 14 in sunlight. I'm going to put the 11 in beds.
Okay. I'm going to let you know right now, that was the right call.
Oh! Yeah!
Thank God.
We don't even know what. Oh God!
These are, just to be clear, these are not parts of my backstory I asked for. I was not like Brendan.
Yeah, this is the new stuff.
I'd like to roll.
Roll for beds.
I'd like to roll for beds, doors, and sunlight. Oh, I'm gonna throw up.
It's all that honey.
It's all that damn honey. It's all that mortal honey. It's that silent honey.
Quiet fucking honey.
So quiet.
Giving me shitty dreams, all this. That fucking mushroom, this fucking.
So, you wake the following morning. Grandma Ren is smiling. Ame and Suvi, how much of troopers are you to like help Grandma Ren with medicine before your little kid bodies just like succumb to exhaustion?
I end up definitely falling asleep, you know, in front of the hearth, sort of just dropping.
And then Suvi, how about you?
Oh, I'm happy to roll for it. I think Suvi in her like strange trauma brain is having a night similar to the night when she showed up. Mm-hmm. And if she sleeps, it's very brief, and mostly she is trying to push through.
Yeah, give me a constitution saving throw.
Yeah, let's do that. No. Eight.
I think there was a moment very clearly where you had outstayed your usefulness because you were so exhausted.
Yeah.
And Grandma Ren allowed you to research other medicines. And so you are upright in a seat, fully asleep with a book open on your lap. Yeah. And Ame, you have just collapsed like on the edge of like where Ursulon is sleeping in front of the hearth. Early, early morning light. You hear outside. And as you awaken, you have beaten two of the three DC 12 effects.
Okay. And I am thankful.
Grandma Ren smiles and looks down and says, "Good morning. Welcome to my home. I'm Grandma Ren. Mm-hmm. The girls have told me about you. Mm-hmm. I know you mightn't be feeling well, but you've been very strong and pulled through, and you're going to be all right. The mortal world can be unkind to wild ones, but I think you will be all right. There are certain taboos that our honored friends must contend with if they move through the world of mortals. There are certain ways to avoid them. The mushroom spirit, which has long been a nuisance this close to my cottage and is extremely spiteful, discovered, I think, a very fitting end to its cruelty. Quite unusual for mushroom spirits, may I be the first to say. And may I also say, oh, by the way, some porridge for you. And there's some eggs and some bacon. And you do smell really tasty food in front of you.
I think Ursulon is going to quietly eat it. And while not making eye contact, focusing on the food, go, "That was my fault. He was my snack. And I forgot him."
Well, we're all somebody's snack eventually. It's no need to take it personal.
I think even Ursula looks up from that.
You see, she says, "What I mean to say is, this is the world and life, and a small child takes you across the threshold into another world. You know, you're only going to make your own. Here's the real trick with magic. The person who pays the highest price for spite is always you." There's plenty of witches I'd like to explain that lesson to.
You see, she looks at you and says, "There are certain taboos that spirits have to face if they will live wholly and fully in the world of mortals, not like the mushroom spirit that exists in sort of a halfway space. When we find those glades or pools or places of powerful fey magic, those are places where the spirits have an attunement, so to speak. For one like you, that for all intents and purposes is mortal now, you may walk wherever you wish in this world of man. But there are certain taboos that come by. We have done our best to see to them that they will not affect you. The passage of thresholds is troublesome for some honored friends. You, I think, because of the kind invitation of Suvi and Ame into our home, will not have to trouble yourself with that. And for sunlight in the mortal world after your first night of sleeping indoors, I think there will be something here to help you. And you see that she takes a little sort of paste and once again places it very gently on each side of your temples, on your head. And those few little motes of starlight that she blew out of her own tear glow for a moment on your head. She says, I might be wrong, but I believe you have some tricksiness to you. Have you ever been able to hide your nature?
Mm-hmm. I can do that.
Very well. If for any reason you are unsafe or feel that there are those who would use the fact that you are a spirit to move against you in any way, you will be able to wear a guise of your choosing. It must be a guise you choose before you step into the sunlight today, on your first day in the mortal world. The presence of the sun will reveal all deceptions. However, if you can hide from its direct light, you will be able to potentially keep yourself safe. She here sort of grimaces a little bit and says, I believe the warmth of the hearth was what you were seeking last night, and it was unsafe to move you. Beds. It is possible that you will not find rest in beds.
Have I slept in a bed before?
You've never even seen a bed before.
I think that will be okay. I don't know what that is.
A bed is, well, it's just a very soft device. I don't know what you call it. It's furniture. It's but it's a place where humans sleep.
Well, I liked where I slept last night.
All right. In game terms, sleeping in a bed will give you a level of exhaustion.
Okay. No sleeping in beds then.
Not terrible for baby Ursula. Older, maybe trying to fuck Ursula.
I swear. I mean, hey, that was a great night. I'm going to hop out of this bed.
It's a very Count of Monte Cristo thing, and honestly, I think that works for you.
Yes.
Hey, what's up? I cannot stay. I simply cannot stay.
Hey, maybe it's not all bad for him then.
There it is.
Uh-oh, the players are leaking through.
There it is.
Oh, no.
Amazing. So, Ursulon, you awaken. Whatever the medicine did, like you've had these like taboos explained to you, basically, that mm-hmm. it seems like you dodged a couple bullets. Sunlight could have been really bad, mm-hmm. or something with doors could have been really bad. But feels like it's all groovy now. Beds thing feels like whatever, you know.
Yeah, I don't think I have a hit. I still, the concept of bed is still out there for me. So being told I can never have one is kind of like, oh, mm-hmm. like, you know, it's like somebody being told when they're young, oh, you can never eat this incredibly specific thing you've never heard of. And you're like, okay, mm-hmm. I think I'll get by.
I'll get by on that. Amazing. So, Ursulon, you have your food. Grandma Wren, you know, takes you to the kitchen, and she kind of just fills the kitchen with a little bit of chatter of just mm-hmm. her being like, you've done remarkably well, and here you have this here, and
Make sure to have some of this and have a little bit of juice. This is all right. This comes from the oranges that we have on the tree out at the end of the, you know, like, mm-hmm. And it's just sort of, it's that kind of fluffy, meaningless chatter that's just meant to be a pillow in the room.
Yeah.
You see, probably like after a half hour of that, strutting in through the bottom open half is Taro, the rooster, who Taro whips up and looks at you.
Good morning.
Good morning. And begins to walk over.
Shut up!
And
it's the most important thing that's ever happened.
He seems nice.
Oh, yes, he's a lovely, lovely rooster. He's been my familiar for as long as I can remember.
I like him.
He walks over and goes up to a sleeping Ame and goes,
it just slams her face into the book and Suvi's awake too. Like, ma,
my hair does the thing that Ghibli characters do, and like the
yeah.
Just the ripple. You see Taro struts back out, his job accomplished. And you see you were both asleep for the moment preceding. You see Grandma Wren looks out and says, there's a long day ahead of us, and we must to work. There are chores to be done, and I know that it's been a busy night, but Ursulon, as you can see, is doing fine, and we are going to make sure that he is welcome here. Now, Ursulon, you did not ask to come to the cottage. You were here on a, well, I suppose something of a quest to find some information. So, it is not incumbent upon you to do any chores if you do not wish. However, as part of my keeping of this place as a sanctum, I allow any guest one night of staying in my cottage. A longer stay, I do ask for guests to do some chores. But I know that chores will be a very foreign concept to you. So, if you wish, if chores sound far beyond what you would like to do, which you have seen Ame and Suvi do their chores, we can find somewhere around the garden or somewhere else for you to stay if you would prefer to lead a choreless life while you are my guest.
I will try chores.
You see, she smiles here and her eyebrows go up and she says, very well. Chores you will try. She looks at Ame and Suvi and says, trying to think of chores for Ursulon.
Goat! You can take care of Nicholas.
Ah, Nicholas the goat went and fetched water and then immediately did not put himself back in his pen and has escaped. Would you please find... You see, she looks and says, if you could find Nicholas the billy goat and get him back in his pen, and for some reason you have this momentary vision of you will be a child going into the woods to find a goat, and you have a vision of knights and questing beasts. Of bright white stags far off in misty glades. This is a start.
I think Ursulon pushes back from the table and stands like chest out. It's like, I spoke to Sir Corrin, and he reminded me that I am a protector of the forest, and I am going to retrieve Nicholas.
Nicholas, yes, he's a billy goat. He's very grumpy, and he will try to butt you. And if I am being honest, he will succeed in butting you.
And I will butt him right back.
All right. A brave young boy. Very well, very well.
These are a little high five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, high five.
He's gonna get got.
Incredible. You take off to go. Now you do not have to deal with Nicholas, Suvi, and Ame. As Suvi and Ame high five under the table, how does that first day of chores go?
Oh, man. I think if I can just interject one quick thing before Suvi does take off to go do chores, and she's a little emboldened by, not having the mortal peril of Nicholas on the docket. She goes and heads over to where Ursulon was sleeping by the hearth and goes and collects the cloak. Mm-hmm. And I think she holds it up and gives it a sniff and notices the new smell, mm-hmm. the pine and rosemary. But then as she refolds it and clutches it to her chest, she looks from it to Grandmother Wren. And I think that look is full of all the questions that a more independent child that wasn't so obedient and focused on being good instead of being present and heard would ask about the man with the cloak that was there earlier and all the things that are kind of left unsaid. And then she just runs upstairs and goes to catch up with Ame, I'm running out to go watch Ursulon v. Goat. Ignoring all other chores until that's resolved.
Go ahead, Ursulon, and give me a either a survival or investigation check.
Both of them. I'll give you survival. That's going to be a 13.
Yeah. Okay.
You head out across the stream over a little glade. It's not that deep into the forest. You can still see the edge of a fence by the garden through the trees and branches. You see Nicholas hanging out in a little glade and turns around.
You are Nicholas. You need to come home.
Give me persuasion with advantage.
Let's go.
That's going to be a 14.
No.
And Nicholas just walks off right past Ursulon. You see, as he gets, he sort of nuzzles your chest and walks off towards the goat paddock.
As he gets close, I bash my head against his.
Ah! Damn. You butt his head. He stumbles backwards, and you feel the feeling you are the new Billy Goat. And he perfectly understands your speech and understands your intention and does not want to mess with you and walks off towards the paddock.
There's a little hedgerow, and you can see the tiniest bit of the bull haircut and eyes and the
afro,
with the flowers, and we're like,
Suvi's just screaming.
How did he do that?
Grandma Wren, I believe I need more chores.
As Ursulon says this, we cut from this moment as you say more. Oh my God, Erica almost just died.
Are you okay?
We ate shit.
No. Oh,
you landed so gracefully, though, for completely going off of that chair.
Wild.
Are you okay? Did you die?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. I'm good.
Okay, thank God.
Are you dead?
Oh, wow.
We're doing it.
We're doing it. As you announce, I think I need more chores. In this stunning completion of this first chore, there is great sorrow in Ursulon's heart, but also you remember Sir Curran's words. You went into the forest with a quest to find a goat and get it back to its paddock. You protected Ame when she was in mortal peril. You chose danger for yourself when it could have been another's. And you feel a little something as you complete your first chore. Perhaps the tiniest, itty-bittiest little spark of honor
I think Ursulon kind of savors this feeling in this moment. If what he wasn't already wearing it, he kind of puts back on his pauldron. And I think quietly thinks to himself that he does not like this world, but he likes it here.
We pull up Suvi and Ame. You see Ursulon walking up with the golden pauldron, and you see, you know, that Grandma Wren leans out of the door and says, "Already done? All right, much to be done. Always plenty of work around the garden with the goats and all around. There's much to be done, and I'm very excited to see where it all will lead." And we pull away from the garden, the three young children walking up to the cottage of Grandma Wren, a wizard, a witch, and a wild one. And this is where our children's story ends.
Is it? That's the story we did a whole quick story.
Oh my god, it was perfect.
Wait, but where did Grandma Wren go? What was she doing? Who was the guy?
That was Lou Wilson as Ursulon, Erica Ishii as Ame, Abria Iyengar as Suvi, and Brennan Lee Mulligan as everything and everyone else. We hope you're enjoying the children's adventure, because none of this would be possible without you. If you are liking it, make sure to tell your friends about it. And from all of us, thank you. These episodes were edited and designed by Casey Tony and scored by Casey Tony and Taylor Moore. He sounds nice.